And turn now in your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 2 is where we will begin our consideration this evening, continuing this preaching series where we contemplate together the core theology, the core doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ. I use that phrase, the Church of Jesus Christ, with some intentionality. What we want is a simultaneous vision for our theology, what we believe, and a vision together of the greatness of Jesus Christ. Seeing our doctrine and seeing Christ together. And in many ways, the message of this series is that a theological vision for the Church of Christ and a vision of the greatness of Jesus Christ go together. As we think in terms of our theology, our vision or understanding of truth, summarized well in our catechism, what we do often is we move through the great questions of life. Opening question, what's my purpose? Why am I here? To glorify and enjoy God, Westminster Shorter Catechism 1. Well, what's my authority to guide me in that purpose? The Word of God, Westminster Catechism 2 and 3. And then we move into theology proper. What is God? Who is God? God is a spirit. God is one in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. That's Westminster Catechism 4, 5, and 6. And then we are forced to ask this question. How do we understand life in this world? How do we understand how God there relates to creation here? How do we understand what's taking place all around us? Here, theologians often speak of a word, decree, the decree of God or the decrees of God. God's eternal purpose for everything that happens. Westminster Shorter Catechism 7. What are the decrees of God? Answer, the decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. God has foreordained whatever comes to pass. This evening we want to see God's decree unfolded in the life of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, which is a classic text, catechism-proof text on the decree of God, says that all that God planned is in Christ. We don't just have the abstract decrees of God, we have the decrees in Christ. And so what we want to see this evening is how Jesus' life itself was decreed by God down to the hour. Down to the hour. Jesus reflects on the hours of His life. We discover every single hour planned, decreed for our Savior. We discover what that teaches both you and me. That's our goal this evening. We're going to trace the theme of the hour across several texts in John, beginning in John 2. Let's pray before we read. Father, we pray in this hour that the light of Your face would shine upon us, that we would grow to understand Your truth and grow to walk in Your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with His disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to Him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever He tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of His signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested His glory. And His disciples believed in Him. This is the Word of God. Well, we sang those words, "You on my unborn self did gaze, while in your book were set my days, days all inscribed and formed as done, although as yet there was not one." Those words, at least the way they're sung in our Psalter, land pretty sweetly or softly on our ears. You sing it to the tune of "Just As I Am," and you're led to sort of a contemplative, meditative, "All my days have been inscribed by you, O God." And we're led to sweetly rest in this truth. But I wonder if there are any of you who sang that tune who honestly wonder in your hearts if they picked the wrong tune. Couldn't we at least have sung it in a minor key? Maybe some of you, hopefully not many of you, who know your heavy metal rock angry music think I have a better tune. Couldn't we find something else to sing of God, inscribing every single one of my days for me? Some of you hear that truth and your mind races to the future. The thing you want in life is to control your own destiny. Instead of singing Psalm 139, you'd rather sing along to that song that was always on the radio when I was a kid. "Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten." That's a lot more popular than Psalm 139, because people want an unwritten future. Others of you may hear that Psalm 139 tone, and instead of thinking about the future, you think about the past. And you discover that the tragedies, the sorrows, the pains of life were apparently inscribed by God for you. If God decreed everything that would happen in life, if God would decree that tragedy, that pandemic, that decade in my life, and all that it meant for me, can I trust God? Can I trust His goodness? Can I actually sing that sweet tune of "All my days inscribed for me"? This is an honest struggle I know that in many ways all of us face from time to time. And the question is, how do we press through this? And suddenly we realize evaluating the decrees of God is not evaluating abstract doctrine. It's actually about getting us to worship. It's about getting us to sing Psalm 139 with understanding, and sometimes our lips, we just don't want to do it. The words just don't want to come out. So the question is, how do we get there? How do we get there to sing the wonder of what the Catechism says are the decrees of God for His glory by which everything comes to pass? Here's what we want to do. We want to look in Jesus' life, and we want to watch the decree unfold in the life of Jesus Christ. The decreed hours of Jesus guide you and me to sing for joy. Now, this is not a walkthrough as we trace the idea that's suddenly going to give you the answer right away. This is not a sermon where I can suddenly clap and all of a sudden the answers are there. We have to enter, we have to watch, we have to observe our Savior's life. We'll see four moves or four ideas traced across the Gospel of John on the hours of the life of Jesus. Our first thought is this from John 2, even the Savior's hours were decreed for Him. Even the Savior's hours were decreed for Him. Now, this is not a sermon in particular on the wedding at Cana, but I want you to see how it unfolds in the text. In John chapter 1, we could have gone all the way through it. We see the glory and the truth of Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh. He is God Himself. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. John the Baptist looks, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus seems to have an infinite knowledge of the people around Him. He identifies one under the fig tree. John 1, He prophesies His own glory. Final verse, "Truly I say to you, you will see heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." We get to the end of John 1 and we're ready, we're longing to see the full glory of Jesus Christ. And so is His mother. His mother wants to see it too. You have this wedding, They run out of wine, a source of shame, fear, public disgrace for the family. And Jesus' mother comes and says, well, they have no wine. And how does Jesus reply? Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Here you have Jesus, God incarnate, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, the Word of God made flesh. And he responds by citing a pre-planned schedule for his ministry. He responds by citing a schedule, a pre-planned timing. Now, all of you know that person in your life that everything has to go by schedule. The person who's bothered if worship starts at 5:59 or 6:01 because the bulletin said 6:00. We all know those people. But what do you make of Jesus Christ himself coming to this moment where all his glory could be displayed and suddenly he's citing the schedule? What's going on here? To understand this, we have to understand the text a little bit. What is his mother asking for? What is Jesus' response all about? And then why does Jesus go ahead and change the water to wine? John 7 is going to help us out here. In John 7, Jesus' brothers want Jesus to go up to a feast. And the message for Jesus, John 7:4, show yourself to the world. Show yourself to the world. This is your moment, Jesus. Put your full glory on display. Let everybody see. Let everybody see those angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Let this be the moment of your glory. Jesus' response, John 7, verse 6. My time has not yet come. You see, the brothers, and seemingly Jesus' mother as well, had an eye, a longing for that opportunity for Jesus to show his full glory. And Jesus had an eye to the pre-planned decree of God. Jesus had an eye to the will of God for how his life would unfold. D.A. Carson puts it like this, any aspect of this ministry could never be in response to human schedules. It could reflect only the timing of the Father's will. Jesus' life could only reflect the timing of the Father's will, no matter how many brothers pled for his glory, no matter how many times or how many ways his mother would ask about the wine. God decrees whatever comes to pass. And if Jesus' life is timed out by the will of God, I think I can argue from the greater to the lesser here, so too is yours. And what is happening here? Well, why would he do this? Why would it be this way? What do we see taking place in these decreed hours? We could put it like this. Full glory is being replaced with shadowed glory. Full glory replaced with shadowed or shaded glory. You know the difference in the feeling of heat when the sun is above the trees and shining directly on you and when the sun is shining through the trees. You can feel the difference. What Jesus is doing here and the timing of the Father's will is that full shining glory is being replaced with a shadowed glory. In John 2, right there, Jesus could have said, yes, here we are, new heavens and new earth, marriage supper of the Lamb, all the glory on display. He changes the water into wine. A lesser display of glory. John 7, Jesus actually goes up to the feast, but he goes in private. The glory shines, but not in full. And all of a sudden, we have a principle. Let's work it out here. We understand that the Savior's hours are decreed for him, so too yours and mine. And this is how the decrees of God tend to work out in our life. Most of us are a bit like the brothers. We have a vision for what the full glory of God would look like in our moment right now. We can picture it. Maybe in 20 minutes or so, Rich Blum will come and pray that the virus will be stopped. And wouldn't it be great? Right there, it all stops. This whole thing goes away. The full glory in the moment. Maybe you would anticipate that for what would take place in your job or your marriage or some other place. I've got a vision, Lord, for the full glory to shine right now. And God says, the shadowed glory, the lesser glory will shine through, even as it did in these miracles or deeds of Christ. Here's what our options are when we discover this, that God decrees all the hours, even the Savior's hours. And sometimes the hours come through in shadows of glory. Our option, I suppose, could be compared to the options of Truman Burbank in the movie The Truman Show. I wonder if you've seen that. This man, he discovers that his life is a TV show. Everything is planned out for him. The godlike figure over his life is named Christoph. Christoph. As though this is what Christ's world is like. And the message of the movie is challenge God. Get out of the decrees of God. Break free from this world in which God decrees everything and do your own thing. That's an option. You can give it a shot, see how far you get. Or you can be like Jesus Christ and rest in the decree. Know what God has planned for this hour. And actually, you don't know what God has planned for this hour, but you can still sing it. Days all inscribed and formed as done, although as yet there was not one. You see how it starts to shape our life when we realize, just as the Savior, so for me, my hours are decreed for me. And that comes from God, and I don't get to change that. That's our first thought. Even the Savior's hours were decreed for him. Our second thought, decreed hours are protected hours. Decreed hours are protected hours. You can turn to John 7. John 7, verse 25. This is actually at the feast where Jesus' brothers wanted him to go up and fully glorify himself. My hour has not yet come, Jesus said. We get to verse 25. Jesus has done some teaching at this feast. Verse 25, some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? There's an uproar. People are wondering who this Jesus is. And in verse 27 through 29, Jesus responds to these people and speaks of his identity. And then verse 30. So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. You see what's taking place? The storm is rising. They're getting ready for the crucifixion. They're getting ready to be done with Jesus. They're getting ready to have us just be able to cut out of the rest of the next 10 chapters of the book of John, because let's go straight to John 19 and end Jesus' life right now. But his hour had not yet come. The same thing happens in John 8:20. He's teaching again. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. What stood between Jesus and death? What is it that stands between Jesus Christ and his death? What does it say? Does it say no one laid a hand on him because the crowd that loved Jesus stopped them? No, it says the hour had not yet come. Does it say no one laid a hand on him because Jesus miraculously disappeared in their midst? No, the hour hadn't come. Does it say the political powers just weren't quite aligned yet on their strategy of dealing with Jesus, so they couldn't get the arrest completed? No, the hour had not yet come. Now, it's possible that any or maybe all of those suggestions were true at one point in Jesus' life. Politics, the crowd, Jesus' miraculous power caused his death not happening. Theologians might call those secondary causes. But John here is after primary causes, or the primary cause. Why is Jesus not arrested? His hour hasn't come. The decree of God says it wasn't happening, and the forces of Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin could have been at the gates of Jerusalem, ready to deal with it, and Jesus wasn't going down. His hour had not yet come. Decreed hours for Jesus are protected hours. You see the comfort and assurance that gives Jesus, and by implication, us. Many of us are really scared of secondary causes. Many of us are really afraid of the things that might happen to us in life. Many of us are really afraid these days of all the things that might take us down. I might not get arrested, but I might touch something and I am now imprisoned in my home for 14 days. I might not get persecuted or arrested like Jesus, but I may die either by contracting a virus or at some other point I will die. My life's not in danger, but a boss may just come and cut my job. There are all kinds of causes in this world that can terrify us, that we can be beyond afraid of. And the question for you this evening is, are you going to rest in the statisticians or the doctors who say, oh, probably not for you? Are you going to rest in your degree, your financial security, or some other thing to protect you? Or are you going to rest in the wisdom of the decree of God? Jesus in this passage is invincible until the decree of God says otherwise. He's invincible. The decree of God says he's not going to die. Nothing is going to happen to Jesus. And you and I are invincible until God's decree says otherwise. You are invincible until God's decree says otherwise. Now, you may already say in your mind, but sometimes God's decree does say otherwise. We'll get there. But do you see the kind of confidence this can give you in life? Not foolishness. Jesus protected himself. Jesus took care of himself. We're called to wisdom in life. Wisdom in life is part of God's decree. But don't you see the trust and the confidence it can bring you? That it's God who's decreeing your days. Not your boss. Not the person who's afflicting you or making you sorrowful, or anyone else around you, or an invisible virus that somehow seems to control your life. God decrees your days. And you see the kind of confidence that can give you. Jesus spends his life on the calling God has for him because he knows God's plan for his hours. He knows where this is headed. He knows what God is doing. Now, you don't quite know the plan the way Jesus knew the plan, but there's a kind of confidence that comes to those who know this truth, that God's decree is what determines my days. I can almost start to sing it. Days all inscribed and formed as done, although as yet there was not one. There's a joy that can come, but then there's also this question. Decreed hours don't always feel like protected hours. Right? Pandemics show up. I lose my job. That relationship I thought was something became nothing. That friendship I had for years went nowhere. All these sorrows, and suddenly we need some help because decreed hours don't always feel like protected hours. That leads us to our third thought. Savior's hours decreed. Decreed hours, protected hours. Turn to John 12. All hours funnel to the hour. All hours funnel to the hour. If that sounds mysterious or vague, you'll see what I mean in a minute. John 12, the narrative of the hour changes. Verse 20 through 22 of John 12, some Greeks come up to Jesus, and they want to speak with Jesus. Look at Jesus' answer, John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The not yet hour has suddenly become the it is now hour. Mary, the brothers, you and I, we want the full glory, not the shadowed glory. And Jesus is saying the sun's about to come above the trees. You're about to feel the full warmth. You're about to see the glory in this hour. Just so it's obvious, of course, Jesus isn't meaning just this one 60-minute period of his life, but this time, this moment in history of Jesus' life in this day and week. Now, what's the glory? What's the glory of the hour that Jesus speaks of? What will cause the light to shine? What will bring the sun above the trees? Verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Did you catch the picture? The hour of glory is the Son of Man being planted in the ground like a grain of wheat. The hour of glory is the hour of the death of the Son of Man. The hour of glory that this has all been pointing to, the hour where the light will shine, is the Son of Man hating his own life, even to the point of death. Now, that's pretty mysterious. That's mysterious. Many people use the word mystery when it comes to the decrees of God. We can't understand it. It's mysterious. Why God would send all this on the world is mysterious. Why God would bring this heartache of life is mysterious. If you find the decrees of God mysterious in your life, if you find it mysterious why God would bring about His providence in this way, here's what you need to contemplate. That from all eternity, God decreed that the Son of God, the Word made flesh, would lay down His life and be buried like a grain of wheat. That the Son of God would willingly give Himself up to the cross, to the point of death, and that all the hours of history would funnel to the hour of the death of Jesus Christ. Some people say, actually, the word I don't think about is mysterious. The word I think about is troubling. It's just troubling to think of all the things that God would decree to take place. Maybe you think about that in terms of Jesus. Maybe you think about that in terms of you. You say, this just seems troubling. Look at verse 27. John 12, 27. Jesus. Now is my soul troubled. Jesus is troubled. The decree is unfolding in his life, and his soul is troubled. No wonder it's troubled. Look what's about to happen to Jesus. And this is what takes place. The troubling of our soul often comes when we recognize what God's decree actually means. That God actually decreed that there would be an hour that Jesus Christ would die. That God decreed the hour of your sorrow and suffering. The question is, well, what do we do with that trouble? Look at what Jesus says, verse 27. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. We come to that point of trouble. We come to that point where we recognize what the decrees of God mean, and the question is, do I challenge God? Do I do the Truman Show method and try to get out of the decree and break out? Father, save me from this hour. Should I just give up on what you've called me to do? Father, glorify your name. You see, what happens for Jesus is the decree of God in his life actually leads him to cry out to God. To look to God and say, Father, I don't understand. Now we know Jesus as God understood the decrees, but Father, here's the situation. Help me understand. And maybe more than that, Father, glorify your name. And then listen to the Father. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. You see what's being said? This is the hour of glorification. The hour of Jesus Christ is the hour. The hour of Christ on the cross is the hour where the glory will shine. This is the mystery of the decrees of God. This is the mystery of providence, that the hour of the cross is the hour where the sun finally makes its way above the trees. G.A. Carson, again, Jesus' death was itself the supreme manifestation of his glory. Here's what we have to understand. How do we understand God's decrees? We start to get at it when we recognize that God brings glory through a cross. God's decreed glory, whereby he brings everything to pass, is through a cross. Now, how does that work? How does the cross funnel to glory? Turn just a few pages, John 17. John 17, 1 and 2, Jesus praying, very similar prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. You've heard that language. Glory. Glory doing what? Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is on a mission to the cross. The decrees of God funnel to the hour of the cross because God's purpose is to bring eternal life out of death. That's what the decree is. Life out of death, eternal life out of death for those who do not deserve it. This is the routes of the decrees of God, that men and women, boys and girls, kids, you at home, what is God's call? The call is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and know this is the point of all of history, all the decrees of God, funneling to the cross so that life could be brought from death. And some people may say, but I'm not actually a guilty sinner. That's God's problem. You know the foolishness of that thought. And the mysterious power of God, he decrees what comes to pass, and yet we remain responsible sinners. Acts 2, speaking to those who crucified Jesus, Peter says, this Jesus you crucified, you did it, you have the marks on your hand of the hammer that pounded the nails, and this was predetermined by God, but you can see the marks and know your sin. You know that the shadow, the darkness is earned by you. And God's decreed an hour to bring life from death. John 19:30, the hour of his death, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The hour funneled there that Jesus Christ would lay down his life for sinners like you. And the response of your heart, well, what's the response? What was the purpose of the Father? Glory. Glorifying his name, glorifying the name of the Son. What's the response in your heart this evening as you see the decree of God unfolded in the life of Jesus? Glory. Can you say it? Glory at the decree of God to pay for my sins. Glory that I, a sinner, have a decreed Savior in Jesus Christ. Glory to God for his decree. Glory to God for his decree. That leads us to our fourth and final thoughts on the decree of God. We've moved through and we've seen that the Savior's hours were decreed. Decreed hours are protected hours, but really protected until that moment. Decreed hours are protected hours until that hour. Our final thoughts, all of life funnels from that hour. For you and me, our life must proceed from the hour of the cross of Jesus Christ. Look at John 19:27. John 19:27, there's Jesus at the cross right before his death. He's speaking to John, the author of this book. He's speaking about his mother, that one who longed for his glory. He says, then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. You see what's taking place there. From the hour of the cross came the calling for the life of John. And that phrase, from that hour, is not simply John recording, you know, did you know what hour I started taking care of Mary so I can start to get my tax deduction or something on that? It's saying, from that hour, from the hour of the cross, Jesus entrusted to John. And from the hour of the cross, Jesus entrusts to the church, to you, a calling to live your life from the perspective of the hour of the cross. Which means you start to look at your life and you look at the suffering decreed for you. You look at the echoes of the cross you're experiencing in your life right now. And instead of saying something must have gone wrong, you say, I must be being called to live like Jesus. You look at your life and you see what's decreed for you, and sometimes we think of the decrees and the plans of God, and the main character in our story always is, well, it's me, there I am, right in the middle. This is about what I'm doing, and wonder what God's decree is for my life. I really wonder what God's decree is for my life. And I wonder how it's been decreed for me to live my life to give glory to Jesus. For the cross of Christ to be lifted up, for Jesus the Savior to be exalted. Some of you may say, this is just all a bit too mysterious. How does it work? How does it work for an eternal God to come in the flesh and the person of Jesus? How does it work for God to decree all things? How does this come together? These are the questions that sometimes keep us up at nights. How do these inscribed days work? We sang about it in Psalm 139. What's the stanza? Days all inscribed and formed is done. What's the next stanza? How precious, God, your thoughts for me. How vast in their totality. Their sum exceeds the grains of sand. I wake and still I'm in your hand. Contemplating the decrees of God is harder than counting the grains of sand in the earth. It is beyond us. And you and I were not meant to fully understand. You're meant to say, how precious, God, your thoughts to me. How vast, how wondrous, how beyond me that God who decrees whatever came to pass, that funneled to my life in Jesus Christ. And the final phrase there that we sang, 139, I wake and still I'm in your hand. I can't help but think of Paul's line in 1 Corinthians 15 that we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. We shall all awake. We shall all arise. Jesus rose. He went to the cross. 3 days later, rose again and entered glory, not simply as Jesus, but as the crucified and risen Jesus. It was the glory of the one who went through the cross. I can't wait to wake up in the hand of God. I can't wait for the decree of God to unfold to that end. I'll never understand His mysterious ways. I'll never understand His wonderful story, decreed for us a cross, and by the cross, glory. Let's pray. Father, we don't fully comprehend your decrees. Lord, you decree everything that comes to pass. And Lord, that's hard for us to fathom just looking at all the events of life that take place day after day. And then it's hard to fathom when we think of Jesus Christ who went to the cross for us. Lord, as we gaze on Jesus and how he walked into that decree, Lord, let us be in awe of Jesus, and then let us live the life that you would call us to here today, tomorrow, and beyond, knowing that you have decreed this for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.